Hello, everyone. How's it going? Oh, good. Nice, nice. Thank you. So we've been doing this series, and I was like expecting the bumper video to come, but then I was like, this is gonna be weird because I'm gonna say the same thing, so maybe I won't say it. So it didn't happen. So just quickly to recap what we've been talking about. We've been talking about what's your mission, not what is your mission. What's your mission? And 2 weeks ago, Jesse spoke on kind of Jerusalem being your neighbors, the people in your proximal area, the people around you. And then last week, Steve jumped into a little further and also talked about the power of the Holy Spirit going before and really doing the work. And this week, we're going to talk about the ends of the earth. So I'm just going to read that verse again. It's Acts 1, 8. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And when we read over those words, the ends of the earth kind of sounds like the cool one, in my opinion. It sounds like the one that is going to be fun and exciting and adventurous and dangerous. And a lot of the time, that is true about the ends of the earth. And we actually see Paul going into this missionary journey where he goes beyond Judea and Samaria, and he starts pushing into Gentile territory. And the church gets persecuted, it spreads them out, and then Saul gets converted and then becomes a missionary. And he's kind of like the ultimate missionary. I'm sure most missionaries have like a little picture of Paul and they're like who he looks up to, because he kind of just like went everywhere and did a ton of stuff and stayed in contact with everyone. And I imagine Paul probably slept like 2 hours a night. So he's probably a little bit of an insomniac. And we're just going to read a quick passage on Paul's first missionary journey. And it's from Acts 13. And it kind of gives us this picture of that it's starting to go beyond just the Jewish people. And it says, "As Paul and Barnabas left the synagogue that day, the people begged them to speak about these things again the next week. Many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, and the two men urged them to continue to rely on the grace of God. The following week, almost the entire city turned out to hear them preach the word of the Lord." And it talks about how Paul then starts preaching to the Gentiles, and it's his responsibility to the Gentiles the same way Peter was responsible to the Jews. And he tried at his utmost to push into their ends of the earth to see the gospel brought to everywhere. And as I started to think about that, I kind of remembered how there was a time in my younger life as a youth pastor, maybe mid-high kids were driving me crazy, I'm not sure what it was, but I kind of wanted to be a missionary. I didn't feel called to be a missionary, but I kind of wanted to be one, because I was like, oh, it sounds exotic, and like I can forget, I'll just probably wear like 3 shirts all the time, so I won't have as much stuff to worry about, and like, you know, it'll be really cool, and people are so friendly in other cultures, and they're so mean and don't want to talk here, and they're not isolationist, and I just like went into this whole thing, and I then realized I was not called to be a missionary. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about how a lot of the times we think about mission and being on mission, and we know that being on mission can be here, or it can be in our region or our country, but also being on mission or for mission isn't always like the funnest thing. It's sometimes not actually, we're gonna end up doing like little things that don't feel great, that aren't like that fun, exciting, we get to go, but we're going to have to do nuts and bolts things here so that people can preach the word abroad. And so I thought of this kind of an analogy. And I was thinking about, so I don't know if any of you heard, I got married 2 weeks ago. Kiana and I got married. Thanks. And it was awesome. It snowed the night before on November 3rd, which was crazy, but because our wedding was outside. But it went really well. If you want to see some pictures, check them out on Facebook. There, it was pretty. Kiana looked awesome, too. I had kept it a secret where we were going on our honeymoon. And on the way to the reception, I told her, and we went to Ireland. And so, like, in my mind, Ireland was just going to be this, like, amazing, perfect thing. And it was, like, the number one place she wanted to visit. And, like, I did all the, like, background research to make sure we're staying in pretty cool towns and cities. And the next morning, we drive from Wisconsin to Minneapolis to fly to Minneapolis. And then we fly to Amsterdam, which takes, like, 7 hours. And 7 hours on a plane is just, it gets kind of dull. And I'm like, oh, this trip was a mistake at like hour 5 and a half. And then we land there. We have to go walk around the airport. You feel like garbage because you just went into the future 6 hours. So it's really like midnight here, but it feels like 6 in the morning there. And it's just, your mind is going crazy. You fly another hour and a half to Dublin. And then I had the bright idea that we should drive straight across the whole country right away in a car. So we 2.5 hour drive across the country, which is crazy. You can cross the whole country in 2.5 hours. That's hilarious. But we go to drive across the whole country, but we don't have a GPS. Our iPhones don't work there, and we have, like, not even really a good map. So we get, like, lost a couple times, and I'm trying to drive on the other side of the road in this really small car that's, like, half the size of mine. No, it's less than that. It was smaller than half. And we're just, like, doing roundabouts and almost hitting people, and I'm like, this is gonna be a nightmare honeymoon. It's gonna be like one of those horror movie things, and I'm just like freaking out. And then we drive across the country, and I'm a little bit tired, so I hit the rumble strips a lot. And Kiana's like, you're hitting those things a lot. I'm like, I know. I feel stupid. I'm in this little car driving on the wrong side of the road. I know, it's so funny now. It did not feel funny when we were like super tired. But then you just go and you sleep forever, and then you feel fine the next day. So all of that to say is, and the honeymoon was awesome. Ireland was awesome. It was super fun. We had a great time, dream vacation trip. And a lot of the time when we think about mission, I think about like those cool things, or like taking pictures on beaches with like people and you're handing them like food because they don't have any, and like all those cool things. But one thing that we're called to for the ends of the earth is doing work, kingdom work here. It's doing things here that translate into kingdom work being done abroad. And these are like the less fun, cool things, the things that are kind of a lot of work and we need to keep up on. But I know that in the same way that those annoying things and getting lost and driving on the wrong side of the road and like all of that hassle to fly there was totally worth it for the honeymoon, I know that putting in the work for this stuff is going to have kingdom impacts that's going to bring people to heaven. So, what are those? There's three things. These are three things that I think we all can dive into at some level. And the first is this. It's to relate to somewhere or something. Because I don't know if you guys have ever babysat. I overnight babysat these kids one time, and one of their prayers, both or all three nights that I babysat them, was, oh, we want to pray for all the people that don't know Jesus in the whole world. That's an awesome prayer. But as soon as you get a little older and you start thinking about it, that is overwhelming. Being like, oh, everyone on earth. And then you can start getting like really sad and crying about it. And which like sometimes is good to have your heart broken for the world. But also, it's a really good idea to pick somewhere, a country or a city, or maybe someone you know who's on the mission field, or someone from a church back home who knows someone. Get connected with a person or an organization or a place that God can put on your heart so you can start praying about it and doing work here. So the first thing is to relate. And Paul did that like everywhere he went. We see Romans 16 is so crazy. In Romans 16, at the end of the book, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you guys should go read the start of Romans 16 to like verse 16:1-16. And he talks about all these people. He said, give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila. And he says, greet my dear friend Epaphras. He's the first person in the area to become a Christian. Oh, what about Apelles? He's a good man who Christ loves. And like, he just goes on and on about all these different people that he's connected to. And these people have obviously started a relationship with Paul. And when we get connected to people who are doing work at the ends of the earth, we can start understanding what it's like doing work there, but we can actually like let it grow in our hearts too, because we have a connection. So the second thing, these are all just like, you're going to be like, oh, I've heard this stuff before, which is good. And you're supposed to nod your head. And then we actually go do them, because a lot of this stuff I do very seldomly. So I hope you guys just want to dive into it. The second thing is this. It's give financially. And likely, if you start relating to someone, that can be the person that you give financially to. Or maybe relating to a couple people. And a lot of people will have emails that they'll send out to you periodically, and you can get involved and get to know them. And but giving financially, even if it's like a super small amount, is kind of how people move forward in mission. Without money, you can't go to a place, and you can't live, and you can't keep pushing into territory, and you can't go and have conversations with people at their house as much. And people need money to go do missions. And we can send that on the internet now. We don't even need to send checks anywhere. It's crazy. So give. Paul is very much an endorser of this. He actually works sometimes for his mission, but it also says in Philippians, it says this in Philippians 4:15-19, as you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help. So it doesn't mean that he doesn't like it. It says, when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia, no other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. At the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And in this same God who takes care of me will supply you all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. So he says that the Philippian church, upon him first getting there, is the only church that gave him money and helped him financially propel into further mission and further work. So one way we can do is to give. And I'm not saying you have to give a ton. It's about when you get connected with someone, it's understanding that the gospel is being pushed forward into new territories because you gave $20. Or you gave maybe more than that. Or maybe you feel compelled to give a bunch. I have no idea. But pray and seek and ask God if that's somewhere, some way that you should be involved. And Paul even talks about that there's a reward for giving. And that is just such a biblical truth, that the more that we release and the more that we give and the more that we understand that releasing those things has kingdom impacts, both here in our lives and abroad, we're going to see so many rewards. I don't know if that's actually going to be, some people say, you're going to get back tenfold financially. No, maybe not. Maybe you will. But what I do know is that God sees that. And that he's going to provide, and he's going to change perspectives, and he's going to make things happen because you've released your money. And then the last thing, the third thing, and the one that Paul talks about the most in his letters is this. It's releasing the power of the Holy Spirit through prayer. Pray, 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 pray. Like, if there's anything you've, everything else you forget about pushing into mission, tonight, it's relate and to pray. Paul talks about this constantly in his letters, that he's urging people to pray for him so that he can push forward. Because he knows that without the power of the Holy Spirit and without the prayers back home or from places that he's been and he has relationships with, he will not be able to gain ground on the enemy. So he says this in Ephesians 6, 19 and 20, and pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan, that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching the message as God's ambassador, so pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Then he also thanks different churches for prayer. And in 2 Corinthians 1, 10 to 11, he says, and he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. And you are helping us by praying for us. The many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. And Paul's acknowledging that the Corinthian church praying for their safety on their journeys is the reason why they're able to keep pushing in and keep bringing people the word that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he has died and rose again so that we might have life to the full and life eternal. So those are our three responsibilities. Are three things to the ends of the earth that even though we're staying here, that we can do either weekly or monthly or daily. We need to be people that are pressing into ends of the earth mission, even from our living room. Paul's missionary journeys wouldn't have pushed forward without them. Then a last thing that we're called to do, and this isn't going to be all the time, but it's called to go or act or respond. And a lot of the time, and a lot of people here will not be called to do missions on some distant land. A lot of people here are going to be called to be here and to be present and to be the people that Paul writes back to, who are praying and giving and relating. But sometimes we're called to go. We're called to be people that go on mission trips. And I'm sure there's a good number of people here who have gone on trips before. And we're called to go for the right reason. We're called to go because we feel it in our heart. The same way that we should feel in our heart the urge to relate to someone, the urge to give, and the urge to pray, we need to feel it in our heart and in our mind that we know that God is calling us to go on a trip. And sometimes people go on trips for selfish reasons because they want cool selfies with people who are living in worse conditions than them, and that's the wrong reason. But I don't think people here want to go for that reason. I think people here want to go on trips because they want to see the gospel push forward. They want to be the hands of Christ in a community, in an area. And we're actually going to be doing a more response-type trip this year for our mission trip over spring break. And initially, I know I had said Houston as a potential, and that kind of fell through. But the people who were talking to us about Houston said, what about Puerto Rico? And I don't know if you guys know of some of the stuff that went on there, but Hurricane Maria, like, super wiped out the country. It is like 60% without power still. We were just, Pastor Steve, who spoke last week, was just talking to his brother-in-law who went there, who's helping coordinate a bunch of our trip. And he said that like power lines are propped up with branches so people can drive on the roads, and it is rough. And so this year we're going to be doing more of a disaster relief crisis type trip, and we're going to go to Puerto Rico, and we're going to work with some local initiatives there, because a lot of the stuff is the government has no money there, and so a lot of the stuff is grassroots happening from within. And one of the organizations is going to be getting roofs on houses because they don't have roofs anymore. And some of it's gonna be a smattering of other things in the area, but this year we're gonna go to Puerto Rico. And if you've gone on a trip before and feel called to this trip, that's great. If you haven't gone on a trip before, this is a great opportunity to be the hands of Christ in an area that has been devastated. And it's a great opportunity to go with the force of the Holy Spirit into another area and to share the love that Jesus has given to you. And so this year, that's what we're going to do for our trip. And we're going to have a little info session right up here in this row after Oasis. So if any of you are interested, please come. We have some commitment forms. But yeah, any mission trip, if you don't go on ours, if you're going to go on another one, go for the right reasons. Go seeking to grow in your relationship with Christ and to bring Christ to wherever you go. And know that even if you don't go on a trip, you can release so much kingdom power right in your living room, right here in this room, wherever you're at, by praying. By spending time speaking with God, releasing the Holy Spirit, and crazy things can happen, like safety and the gospel being pushed forward and new doors being opened. I've heard of some crazy stories about people praying ahead of time and the Holy Spirit making things happen. Let your imagination run wild as you pray. Pray for bold things. Pray for specific things and ask that God would move here where you're at and in the far-flung reaches at the ends of the earth. We're going to go into a time of prayer. And if anyone needs prayer for anything, there's going to be some people at the back and they would love to pray with you. And as you pray, think on a place or a person, or ask God how you might even start to investigate who and what to pray for. And also, if you're considering going on the trip, pray about that. We want to have as many people as we possibly can bring, but we want to have people who are coming that want to see Christ in a new area. All right, let's pray. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you that we can come and gather freely. Thank you, God, that you are real and that you are present and that your Holy Spirit moves. And God, we pray as we ask the question what our mission is, that we would see our mission as one thing, to bring you glory. God, help us to push into bringing you glory, honoring you, and making your name known throughout the whole world. God, thank you for your love. And we pray that we will be people that love like you do. God, thank you for your Son. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.